I got this text just a few moments ago, so I thought I would read it to everybody. I won't tell you who it came from, but I'll read it to you. It's a pretty good one. It says, my car is an Aston Martin Vanquish, finished in matte black carbon fiber with black Nappa leather with red stitching. It is 12 cylinders, 750 horsepower, and it's only $378,000, and it's available in Dallas right now, just to be specific. So let me throw this out at you. Now, people go, wow, that's a lot of money, praise Jesus. Well, not for God. You know, go read the Word. When the Bible says the windows of heaven open above your head, God's pouring out blessings upon you that you don't have enough room to receive it or contain it. Do you know that that doesn't actually go on to say, and all that money is actually for the end time harvest and not for you? Think about it. You know, so we get, here's what happens with people. Once you start talking about amounts of money, see, a $30,000 car, people go, oh yeah, praise Jesus, we can do it. Really? Wouldn't $30,000 help a lot of poor people? Wouldn't $375,000 help a lot of poor people? See, that's the mentality of people. People think, well, you can't have a $378,000 car because you could take that money and put it in the gospel. But we can go buy a brand new $30,000 car. What's the difference? Only a few more zeros and a whole bunch of nothings. Hello? Amen. So when we talk about abundance, God said, I'll give you bread to eat. I'll give you seed to sow. So how much of this is bread and how much of it's seed? If God gave you $1 million, how much of it is seed, how much of it's bread? I bet you there's a whole lot of bread in there. Come on. See, and listen, the world don't have a problem with putting money on themselves. And I have to look at it this way. The price that Jesus paid for us, money could never buy. The price that Jesus paid for us in Calvary, money, not the most amount of money in the world could ever pay for that. So what he gave us was priceless. The last thing we want to do is get all religious over an amount of money. Hello? Because you see, I believe God wants us to have the very best. God is not going to bless you financially in these last days so you can go and rummage through, I'm talking about like a scrapyard. You say, what do you call it? The salvage yard, salvage wreckage yard. So you can go and build a car out of that. That's not the way God does things. God's not going to bless you financially so you can go to a place that you know, you buy here and you pay here. Hello? The car's got 350,000 miles on it. The seat's already worn through. Tires are bald, steering wheel's bald. Yeah. Why don't we believe God for the best? Hello? Amen. So money, an amount of money doesn't really mean anything to God. God's not worried about the amount at all. Yeah, he actually is more concerned about you and actually loves you more than the amount of money that you're going to spend. Amen. As long as you're doing what the Word says, you're tithing, you're giving, you're sowing, you're being faithful, God doesn't have a problem with any of this other stuff. You know, we just flip it onto a whole kind of a religious thing. Well, praise Jesus, all the money I get for the end time harvest. Well, what about you? Well, what about you? Well, don't worry about me. No, God's concerned about you. God wants to bless you. You as a person, as an individual, God wants to bless you. In actual fact, God doesn't even need your money for end time harvest. He needs you. Hello, I said he needs you. If only we could get a revelation of the love of Jesus. It will change everything. How we think, how we talk, how we walk. I'm telling you. Because it's beyond our comprehension. Amen. Hallelujah. So I thought I'd throw that out at you because I know that 378,000 might offend people. Well, my God, that's a lot of money. Not really for God. Hello. Ever been believing God for $1,000 and it came in? What's the difference between 1,000 and 100,000? A couple of zeros. What's the difference between 100,000 and a million? A few more zeros. Amen. It's not a big deal for God. It's not a big deal for God. We make it out to be a big deal, but it's really not a big deal for God. Amen. I mean, I feel like something's about to bust loose. That $375,000 or $378,000 car is gonna be like nothing. It's gonna be like chump change. That's what I feel like is about to happen. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you. It's beyond our comprehension what God's about to release into the kingdom. And I don't know about you, but we're under the spout. I said we're under the spout. I said we're under the spout. Amen. And I can tell you right now, when my wife and I, we break through, there's going to be a lot of people blessed. Some are going to get blessed because they're our personal friends. Others are going to get blessed because of association. But there's going to be a lot of people blessed. A lot of people are going to get set free. I'm telling you right now. You watch and see. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's beyond our comprehension what God's about to do. It's bigger than big. It's huger than huge. It's humongouser than humongous. I don't know what else to use on that one. That's about as far as I go. Amen. But it's big. I'm telling you now, it's big. Amen. I believe we're going to acquire some TV stations. I believe we're going to acquire some radio stations. I believe we're going to change the way things operate in America and around the world. That's what I believe. Amen. I believe we're going to shake up some things. All it takes is money and somebody who believes God with every fiber of their being, and we can shake up a whole lot. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That lady that was here this morning that got up and spoke, it's a walk for life, correct? No. Listen, they shouldn't even look for money. We the church, we the people, should fund them and kick that whole operation up a notch or two or three. Hello. And we should shut down unplanned parenthood. We should shut them down. Amen. Because all that, the whole organization is about is just killing babies. That's what they're about. They're not about planning anything. They have nothing to plan with. I've watched all the interviews. I watched people get up that have been a part of that and they said, we don't do anything but abortion. Hello? And that's in America. One thing I will thank God is that Trump stopped all the finances going out of America to countries that we were funding to actually kill babies. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Our money goes out of the country to other nations to help fund to kill babies. Man, animals don't even do that. Hello? Come on now. Hallelujah. But then I suppose the devil does. All I can say is these people must be full of demons. They have to be full of demons. They've got to be. How do you pull a baby out? The baby's still half alive and you actually kill it right in front of you, and then it's okay to harvest the body parts. I mean, how do you do that without a demon on the inside of you? They have to be demons. They have to be carrying passengers. Nobody in their right mind would do that. We drive down the road, and my wife, we see a turtle on the road or a tortoise or whatever. My wife's, we got to get out, and my wife's got to pick the thing up and put it on the side of the road. I'm like, really? I mean, it's a turtle. It's not even a ninja. It's just a turtle. If it was a ninja turtle, I'd go, my God, let's help the dude. We might need him down the road, but this is just a turtle. Are you listening to me? I was coming back from the horses the other day, and we came around the corner, and I slammed my brakes and reversed and went forward and reversed a few times because right in the middle of the road was lying a big old snake. Only thing a snake's good for is boots. Amen. Amen. Now, I know there are some good snakes. I understand, you know, we'll try to preserve those, but I'm not going to stop and say, are you a good snake or are you a bad one? But for a turtle, we'll stop. Amen. Hallelujah. I was speaking to a friend of mine the other just a couple of days. He stopped and picked up a turtle, and the thing peed all over him. So I got pee all over my pants. The turtle peed all over me. I'm like, well, that's what turtles do, amen. That's why you don't have them as pets. Where am I going with this anyway? What? Are we just hanging out here this evening talking about turtles? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we were talking about killing babies. Amen. Turtles. So, are you ready? Are you expecting? Breakthroughs. Amen. Breakthroughs. Man, big breakthroughs are coming. I believe God's going to give us the finance to equip the body of Christ to do some things for the kingdom. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now, I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Imagine how many more souls can be saved. Imagine the people that are soul winners in this church. Imagine you being debt-free. You don't have to work a job, because you're already funded by heaven, and all you can do is every day go on the streets and go win the lost. I believe that's going to happen to the body of Christ. I believe there's going to be a whole army of believers that's what they're going to do. They're going to be soul winners, and they're going to be on the streets, but they're going to be totally funded. God's going to fund everything he does. Amen. Hallelujah. It just means you won't have a J-O-B to go to, but you'll be doing work for the kingdom. Imagine getting souls saved every day. What a job. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What a great day the day of Pentecost was. That day of Pentecost is still affecting and impacting us today. The day the Holy Spirit came and dwelt on the inside of man. The day that we became the vessel or the carrier of the Holy Spirit down here on this earth. You know, you can look at the church on the whole, and there's a lot of people that are actually missing out on what God has in store for them, because some people don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Some people don't believe in speaking in other tongues. Others don't believe in healing. Others don't believe in prosperity. I just look at it this way. If it's anywhere between Genesis and the book of Revelations, anywhere in between, anywhere, it's there for me. Hello. It's there for me. I cannot take stuff out of the Word because I don't understand it. Because actual fact, it's not really there for me to understand. Hello? I said it's not there for me to understand. In my natural mind, I cannot comprehend the ways of God. In the natural mind, I cannot understand the ways of God and the way of His Word. So I don't try to understand it with my intellect. I catch a hold of this in my spirit, man. That's why this Word becomes a foundation to me, because it's in my spirit, man, that I catch a hold of this Word, and then I can stand upon it and trust God with every fiber of my being. That's why when we lay hands on people, there's not a second thought that runs through our mind. Well, what if this doesn't happen? No, it doesn't even cross my mind. I just do what the Bible tells me to do. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hello? Sometimes we see instant miracles and other times we don't. But we just lay hands on the sick. The Bible says they shall recover. We don't know the ways of God. We don't understand the ways of God. There's some things that I don't understand over the years that God has done. But then, hey, if He wanted me to understand, He would have told me. Actual fact, there's some things that go on. I don't think they have anything to do with us. Hello? It's God. It's God doing the work. It's God doing what He's doing. It's got nothing to do with us. Hello? So I don't really ask God too many questions. I just follow His Word and obey and do what He wants me to do on a daily basis. Amen. You know, there's got to come a deeper hunger and a deeper desperation and a deeper determination on the inside of us for more of God. Do you know that we can actually become religious in revival? We can actually become religious in revival. Wow, you know, he's still since October the 23rd. Well, He's going to be here Wednesday and Sunday. Well, you know, I'll make it Sunday, but I won't make it Wednesday. Why? Oh, I just, you know, if I can't get it tonight, I'll come on Wednesday. If I don't get it Wednesday, I'll come on. Why don't we just get everything God has for us tonight? Because let me tell you what, the way God does things, yes, that way God operates. God will touch you on one night. Then the next time you come in His presence and you're pressing in, He'll use that foundation that He laid in you to lay another foundation upon you and another foundation and take you deeper into the move of His Spirit. That's what God does. It's like a process that we go through. I mean, if it was a one-off encounter, great. We could come in, get a one-off encounter, and away we go, and we should be good until Jesus comes. But that's not the way things work. God wants an encounter with us on a daily basis. He wants us to spend time in His presence on a daily basis. When we have revival, He wants us to come in and press in and receive whatever He has for us. Whether it be nightly or daily or bi-weekly or whatever it is, but God wants us to press in. And I'm telling you right now, the more we press in, the greater the touch of heaven will be upon our life. This is something that you could never, ever remove out of us. The move of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of God, the touch of heaven. You could never take this away from us at all. Because back in the 90s, we had this encounter with God. And because of that encounter with God, we've never been the same. And let me tell you what, through the 90s, we had more encounters. I mean, on a daily and a weekly basis. And still, we are still having encounters with God. Because God's not done with us yet. It's like the more we get, the more we want. Hello. It's like I heard somebody say, well, you know, you know, God, you gotta understand when God fills you, then you will get to a place where you won't want more of him because you'll be filled. I'm like, really? That's never happened to me. The more I get of God, the more I want. And when he fills me to overflowing, man, I still want more. Hello. I'm always hungry. I'm never satisfied. I think the problem comes is when people get satisfied with where they are with God and they push themselves away from the table that God set before them, then they can't partake. I'm never satisfied. Hello. Always hungry, always thirsty, always pressing in, always more of you, God. More, 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 more. Got to have more. Got to have more. Got to have more. There's a greater encounter that God wants us to have with him. How do we get that? Hungrier, thirsty, pressing in, touching the hem of the garment of Jesus, crying out to God, Jesus, our Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't pass me by. I'm hungry for more of you. I thank you, God, for what you've done. But I'm not finished yet. I know you're not finished yet. I'm pressing in for more. Never am I going to become satisfied with the things of God. I don't care if I'm like this one day. Well, praise Jesus. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Hallelujah. Come on. Hungry and thirsty for more of him. Listen, he said he'd take us on from glory to glory to glory to glory. When does that glory end? Maybe one day when we step over into glory, does that glory to glory to glory end? But while we're down here on this earth, I'm telling you right now, God has so much more. We've only just scraped the surface. We've only scraped the surface. What we saw God do in the 90s, listen, it was just on the surface. That's all it was. There were some times where we dug in deep and there were some moves of the Spirit of God that were just, I mean, just blew our cotton picking minds. But I can tell you right now, it's all just surface stuff. God's just preparing us for what he has to do in these last days. That's all God's doing. Amen. That's why when you spend some time on the carpet, use it wisely. Amen. I remember days when I'm lying on the carpet and I can actually get up. I'm like, okay, let me get up and go sit down. And then I'll either go, well, hang on, I'm here already. And I pray. I say, Lord, I'm already on the floor. I know you get more on the floor. So whatever else you have to do, go ahead and, you know, do whatever. And I'm down there for another 3 hours. Hello? Because I'm not in a hurry when it comes to God. I'm not in a hurry. Some people on the floor, a few minutes later, sitting back in the pew. Listen, you've been sitting in your pew all night. Hello? It's overrated. Hello? I know it's got some padding down there, but it's overrated. Hello? That came out right, but anyway. It's just overrated. You get more on the floor. It's like God's operating table. Hello? It's like God's operating table. It's really when you're down on the floor, you actually don't have to think about anything but him. You actually don't get to look around the place either. Hello? One thing I love about the floor is it's like an equalizer. When preachers fall under the power of God, or the rag lady falls under the power of God, they both lie on the same level. It's not like the preacher's elevated 3 feet, hanging, hovering in the air. No, they're all on the same level. Hello? I've seen the power of God hit people, and then you start looking and you know the ministers, and there's this Anglican and Presbyterian and a Catholic priest and a few other people, and they're all lying on the floor drunk in the Holy Ghost. And then the Catholic priest, he rolls over and starts slapping the Pentecostal preacher next door to him on the floor. I'm going, glory to God, look at that. That's wonderful. Pentecostal preacher getting a slap from a Catholic priest. Now he's drunk. He doesn't really know what he's doing. You know, in the natural, that wouldn't happen, but everybody's drunk in the Holy Ghost, so it doesn't really matter. You know, we have a lot of different denominations coming in a meeting, and you can see the different denomination by the way they worship. But when the Holy Ghost gets on them and they're on the floor drunk in the Holy Ghost, a drunk Baptist and a drunk Methodist and a drunk Catholic and a drunk Pentecostal, they all look the same. You can't actually tell the difference because everybody drunks up the same. Are you listening to me? That's why I love the move of God, because when God shows up, it's not about a denomination. It's not about this certain people. It's about the move of the Holy Spirit. It's about God coming to just shake people and set them free. Amen. Thank God God's not a denominational God. Amen. I wonder if we'd be in the right denomination if he was. God's not a denominational God. Amen. God's a God of the people. God just wants a move of the Spirit. He's not worried about how many times you're baptized. And, you know, he's not really concerned if you don't want to speak in tongues. Because when you have an encounter with him, you will. Hello. He just wants you to have an encounter with him, and then everything changes. Amen. He doesn't really mind if you don't believe in healing. He just wants you to have an encounter with him, because when you have an encounter with him, you will believe in healing. Amen. That's what it takes. Come on now. Look, I've grown up in Pentecost. Look, I know a lot about Pentecost. There's some things I want to forget. Hello. And there's some things I want to remember. As a kid growing up, I remember as a kid growing up, my God, we saw some Pentecostal preachers were on fire for God, full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm telling you right now, they show up for meetings and we have a Holy Ghost hoedown. I mean, everybody in the church on the floor, drunk, on the floor, power God all over them. Are you listening to me? Then there were other Pentecostal preachers that we were under that just was just like another meeting. Hello. So we've seen both ends of the scale in Pentecostal churches. I came to this conclusion and this realization that I needed a change on the inside of me. God needed to change me. It doesn't matter what I've seen as a kid. It doesn't matter what I've experienced as a kid. If God didn't change me on the inside, I have to have that encounter with God. I mean, listen, I can remember as a kid growing up in our home, we'd sit down on a Sunday to eat lunch. And we'd all hold hands and my dad would pray over the food. And the power of God, I watched him, the power of God hit him. He's praying over the food, people. Power of God hit him and he started to prophesy. For 40 minutes, he'd prophesy. You know, we're little kids. I mean, we're looking at the roast leg of lamb and the roast potatoes. And I mean, I remember one day I slipped my hand out of my brother's hand and I made sure all the eyes were closed and nobody was looking around. Praise Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed at the table. And I reach out and grab a half of roast potato and I pop that in my mouth. And I started lunch early. I'm telling you, I know what happens when my dad gets hit by the Holy Ghost. Then he's going to take some time and he's just prophesying away then, speaking the things of God. And I'm crunching on a potato. Hello. Now, I thank God that nobody saw me, because if they, you know, there could have been some other crunching going on too. Amen. I mean, there were many times my mom would have to take the food back to the kitchen to go warm it up because it's got cold. So that's the kind of home we grew up in. Hello. But because my dad would prophesy, and because I'd seen my mother drunk in the Holy Ghost, getting full of joy, and we'd stand there and look at her and go, what's wrong with Mom? And we say, Dad, what's wrong with Mom? Why is she laughing like that, uncontrolled? Couldn't control the joy. My dad's like, don't worry about it. God's just touching her. I'm like, and then we get sent out of the room, and my dad, he closed the door. And, my first thought is, I think my dad's going to slap my mother because I think she's hysterical about something. I mean, I'm a little boy. I don't know what's going on. I have no clue. My dad never, ever slapped my mother, but he slapped me, but not my mother. So just because we saw all that stuff going on in the house didn't help me. I needed an encounter with God myself. I needed God to come change me myself. Amen. I'm trying to preach here, people. I'm trying to preach. What's up with you? Yeah, don't wait for me, please. Don't wait for me. I've been waiting on you all night. Now you don't have to wait for me. Amen. I remember one town we stayed in back in South Africa. There was no Pentecostal church in the town. So we went to a Baptist church. My mom, my dad, my brother Rodney, myself, we went to a Baptist church. The Baptist preacher happened to be a teacher at the school that we attended. He was one of our teachers. And we all got kicked out of the Baptist church because we spoke in other tongues. So you can imagine, I show up on a Monday morning, we just got kicked out of church because we speak in tongues, and I got to show up on a Monday morning, go to my accounting class, which I didn't pass anyway, but I go to my accounting class, and there I'm looking at the teacher. They just kicked the whole family out of the Baptist church because we speak in tongues. Hello. The fact that we survived all of that and still came out in our right minds, which obviously is debatable, but the fact we survived all of that stuff, it was a miracle, I'm telling you. Hello. People say, what's wrong with that lady? Nothing. She's just happy. It's what happy people do. Hello? My brother was in upstate New York, and he called us back in South Africa. And he said to me, he said, you don't believe what's going on in the meetings. And he started telling me, he said, I just started doing these morning meetings in upstate New York. And I started teaching on the anointing. And then he said, all of a sudden in the morning meetings, people started getting full of joy and getting drunk and falling out of their seats. And he was right. I didn't believe him. Because he said, you're not going to believe me. I said, I don't believe you. I mean, I've grown up in Pentecost, We see little bits and pieces of joy. People are happy for a few moments, and then they get back to themselves. Hello? But now suddenly all these people are falling on the floor and they're getting full of joy. And to be honest with you, I was kind of concerned. I thought maybe that, you know, America's a big place and maybe he got connected with some kind of an occult. A happy occult, but some kind of an occult, you know. Well, you go to church and get happy. My God, that's really? You go to church and get happy? So happy that you're so drunk you're falling out of your seat on the floor? Church? I've grown up in Pentecost. That doesn't happen. Then he came to South Africa to come do some meetings in South Africa. Listen, it didn't take me 10 seconds. I looked around. People were drunk, falling out their seats, full of joy. And I looked around and went, this is God. I mean, it didn't take me long to know. It didn't take me weeks to go, now, is it God or could it be the devil? I got to pray about this first and make sure it is God that's actually giving these people joy and getting them drunk. Maybe it's the devil. Maybe it's the devil. Devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Where's the joy? Hello? Do you recall at any time in this meeting that I welcomed the devil to come and do anything here? Did you? I welcomed the Holy Spirit. Listen, the devil's not even in here. If he is, you slipped him in and stuck him under your pew. But I can tell you right now, he ain't even in here. Because if he was, he'd already be manifesting. Because if there's something the devil hates, is joy. Because he knows joy gives you strength. And he doesn't like that. He doesn't want you to be strong. Hello. What we see God doing in the meeting, this has got absolutely nothing to do with the devil whatsoever. It's got nothing to do with religion, tradition. Hello? Some people come in the meetings and they're afraid. They're afraid of the joy. Look, the worst that you can get is happy. That's the worst. The worst you could leave here tonight is happy. That's the worst. The best you could leave here is happy. Hello? I mean, who doesn't need a little joy? You know, ho, ho, 'tis a season to be jolly. I mean, around Christmas time, everybody gets this, whoo, it's a season to be jolly. Oh, really? We have a jolly season every year. And it doesn't stop at Christmas and doesn't start with Christmas. Hello. We're having a jolly Easter. We're having a jolly April. We're going to have a jolly May and a jolly June. Oh, yeah. Jolly July, August, and September. Come on now. Because we're not going to keep the joy for Christmas. Hello. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, you know, you need strength not only at Christmas time, but any other time through the year. Amen. Just because the meeting is a little different than what you might be used to, and if you're part of Calvary, then this shouldn't be a little different. But if you're visiting, then it might be a little different to what you're used to. Doesn't mean to say that the devil just showed up. Hello? It just means to say we are allowing the Holy Spirit to do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do it, however He wants to do it. And whenever He wants me to shut up, I'll shut up. Hello? Even though I might not be finished with my 3-point sermon this evening. I don't even know when the first point started, but anyway. Hello. It's just the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. It's the Holy Spirit moving and touching people and sending people free. Some people are having a little medication. Hello. Medication. Life is like a medicine. Shouldn't we meditate a little, brother? No. Because that's all people want to do is meditate and not medicate. Too much meditation and not enough medication. I think you have to do both. Hello. But you can over-meditate. But you can never over-medicate. Hello. I feel a little meditation, or should I say I feel a little medication coming on. I'm getting so medicated up here, I don't know the difference at the moment. Amen. You can actually get a high. You can actually get a high on this medication. Amen. Isn't it amazing how it's acceptable to pass a law so you can puff away on a medicinal reefer, and that's okay. That's okay. It's for medicinal purposes. Then you come to church, and laughter is for medicinal purposes, but that's not acceptable. Oh, no, no, no. Some guy showed up there at the river in Tampa Bay just a couple of weeks back, 3 or 4 weeks back. And he was walking down front and he did this to my brother. My brother's like, what is he talking about? And he actually pulled out a reefer and gave it to him and said, this is for you and your wife. So Rodney's like, really? Seriously? I don't smoke. Gives it back to the guy. Hello. I mean, I know some pastors that might have taken it. Yeah, praise Jesus. Then you offer some people some joy. You got a reefer? Now I got some joy. You want a drink? I got some drinks. It's on the house. It's the new wine of the Holy Ghost. It's free, free and clear. You can drink as much as you want. And if you get pulled over by the police and get a breathalyzer, they won't find any alcohol on you. But you'll be drunk. Hello. And that's happened before too. But that's a little excessive, you know. That's a little excessive. We should tone that down a little bit. I mean, if we could just come to church and have just a normal meeting. Well, not in this house. Hello. This is normal. We had some people leave the church one day. In a meeting we were having down in Florida, they called up the secretary and said, when the church goes back to normal, will you call us up and we'll come back? Because they didn't like the joy. You know, we don't like the joy. We don't want to be happy. We want to be sad and depressed. We don't want to be financially blessed. We want to be poor. We like poor poverty. Woe is me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go out in the garden and eat worms. Well, go eat them by yourself. Don't invite anybody to your pity party. Amen. Oh, my, my, my. See, you know, to be honest with you, the longer we hang out, people say, well, why didn't you get a move on with the meeting? Oh, there's people that are drinking out here. They're getting drunk. Some haven't been drinking like this before. So I just want them to drink and get as much as they can. It's okay. All you intercessors, it's okay. In actual fact, you don't even need to pray yet tonight. This is actually not a prayer meeting. If anything, it's a drinking meeting. So no praying, intercessors. From Eagle Mountain, no praying. Just drinking. Just drinking. Just laughter. Ha, 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 ho, 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 hee, hee, hee. You can pray on the way home. People say, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the Eagle Mountain people to catch a hold of this. Because I'm sure they didn't show up yet tonight just to pray. I'm sure they came for a drink. I'm sure they came for some joy. I'm sure they came for a touch of heaven. And you know, here's one thing about revival, you've got to understand. Noise is not disrupting the meeting. Laughter doesn't disrupt the meeting. Laughter doesn't get me distracted. I get more distracted by people that look like this. I get more distracted by that. Joy doesn't distract me. Laughter doesn't distract me. Actually, in fact, when I hear laughter, it sounds like a river running. That's, to me, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a river from heaven. So I'm never distracted by joy. People can get up and run around the building. That doesn't even distract me. Amen. I'm not worried about too much. I can tell you right now, I'm not worried about too much. So don't think because you get drunk in your seat and get full of joy that you'll be disrupting the meeting. No, not at all. In actual fact, here's what happens when you get full of joy and you get drunk in your seat. It actually jumps off of you and jumps onto the people around about you. And I would encourage some of you. You're sitting around people that really need some joy. And when I say that, I look over everybody so nobody can say he looked at me when he said that. Even though I did look at you when I said that, I'm giving the impression that I'm looking over everybody, but really I'm actually looking at you. That's what you get when you come and see a drunk preacher preach. Ha 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 Yeah. 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 Hey, 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 hey. There's some life in the mountain. I said there's some life in the mountain. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm going back to the mountain, Pastor Bob. I'm going back to the mountain. Yeah. See, that's good stuff. Everybody needs a shaking every now and again. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Whether you're from the river or from the mountain, you need a shaking sometime or another. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha ha ha. Ho ho ho. He. Ha ha. Ho ho. He. This is good stuff, isn't it? Huh? It's good stuff. Woo! This is good wine we're drinking. See, I love it when it suddenly happens. As long as she's not looking for gum under the pew, we okay, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I don't even know if we have a sober usher in the house. She's going to be like the blind leading the blind tonight. Hallelujah. Well, let's do this. Let's start off with a mountain. Let all those from the mountain come. Line up over here across the front.